Okay, welcome everybody. Happy New Year. I'd like to call this meeting of the Oregon Board of Forestry to order. First, perform the roll call. Mike Rose is absent. He's unable to be here today. Cindy Deacon-Williams.
Here.
Nils Kristofferson.
Here.
Joe Justice.
Here.
Jim Kelly.
Here.
Brenda McComb.
Here.
I'm Tom Imison. I'm here, so we have a quorum. A few housekeeping things. As a reminder, this public meeting will be live-streamed all day, so as usual, it would be helpful for people to silence their electronic devices for the duration of the meeting. Also, pursuant to ORS 192.660.2H and I, the board will meet in two closed executive sessions today, one starting at noon and another at 4 o'clock. The purpose of the noon session will be to confer with legal counsel regarding the board's rights and duties related to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed. We will reconvene the meeting after the working lunch executive session is done at 1 o'clock. The 4 p.m. session is set for the board to discuss the state foresters' annual performance. And upon conclusion of this executive session, the meeting will be adjourned, so we won't be coming back here after that meeting. Representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the public are not allowed to join. In order to ensure that the board has the opportunity to conduct all of the business on its agenda for its meetings, public comment for agenda items will be limited to no more than 30 minutes and received upon conclusion of the topic's presentation. As usual, a sign-up sheet is available for public comment on a first-come, first-served basis. So we'll now proceed with the consent agenda. Is there a motion for approval of consent items A through D?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
There a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And we will now turn to the state forester for his comments.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. As I look back on 2019, I will say that it's been an interesting year. But what I really want to talk about is I remain impressed by my employees' continued dedication to public service in the face of increasing challenges on many fronts. We did have a relatively easy fire season. Estimated gross large fire costs for the 2019 fire season were $33 million, with net cost of $16 million. And it reflects the increased severity in our fire seasons when I'm saying four times a previous decade's gross fire cost is an easy season. A decade ago, our hair would be on fire for last year's fire season. I would like to thank the entire agency and the associations who, with the help of the landowners, cooperators, partners, responded to yet another fire season and helped make it a successful fire season last year. So thanks to all of them. In addition to our core business in managing fires, State Forest made significant progress on the HCP and FMP. Our federal forest restoration program continued progress across Oregon. Private forests worked on multiple policy topics. And partnership and planning program made significant progress on climate change. And the administrative division continues to support agency operations while fully implementing Oregon Buys, our new procurement system. And these are just a few of the highlights beyond core business. Some other highlights included the governor's executive order on the Wildfire Council occurred on January 30th of 2019, created the Wildfire Council. In particular, I'll call out Travis Medema, Chad Davis, and Nils for the work that they did in helping produce the final report, which is a very comprehensive look at all aspects of response to wildfire following the cohesive wildfire strategy. We strengthened our IMT system and implemented a new governance system for it to make sure that we're prepared for increased severity. We've nearly completed our state forest reorganization. We've stood down the committee that was responsible for monitoring that, and we're moving into the implementation phase. We signed a shared stewardship agreement with the USDA and Secretary of Agriculture and the Forest Service on August 13th. We produced the first comprehensive report on carbon stocks and flux in Oregon's forested ecosystems and signed the Pacific Coast Temperate Forest MOU on cooperation on climate research and mitigation. So just a few highlights, but also this year our agency's facing potentially the largest financial, political, and social challenges of our history. With a lot of negative press, I think exceeding 11 or 12 stories about our performance. And I just want to thank all of our employees. It's been a very challenging year for our employees. Thank all of them for striving to meet the challenges of providing excellent public service. I cannot say enough about what they do. Moving on to forestry finance, in December, the forestry financial oversight team met with the team from Marcia, Ginny, and O'Connell, or MGO, who will be helping us with our fire finances. MGO has a decade of experience providing financial accounting and consulting services to state and local governments, and we look forward to receiving their assessments and recommendations for improvement. We met with them before the Salem leadership met with them before the end of the year, and starting this week, they'll be visiting all of our districts to conduct their initial assessment of our fire finance processes, and they'll be using that information they gather during the next couple of weeks to develop their work plan over the next several months. And I will be providing regular status updates on what they're finding and their progress to the board, both by email and at regularly scheduled meetings. In terms of our current financial situation, department has only 28% of its general fund appropriation for the biennium remaining, so $21 million. Therefore, while our department's cash balance, cash account balance has been increasing slightly, available resources for the 2020 fire season will be well below average costs to fund firefighting efforts. Where we're at by, April will be probably impossible to maintain performance of the department's non-fire core functions. So while MGO will help us build a more effective fire finance system, there's also work happening to get funding in place to sustain the department over the next fire season. We're working with Department of Administrative Service Chief Financial Office on details of a funding ask for the 2020 session to ensure we have enough cash on hand for this year's fire season so we can focus on what we do best. We expect that request will exceed $100 million of general fund. We'll also continue to work with our partners on identifying a long-term wildfire funding strategy that works for the longer, larger, costlier fire seasons we're facing in Oregon. Next week, interim legislative days begin, which will give us a preview of policy and funding topics to come in the February legislative session. I will be personally meeting with the co-chairs of the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources, the tri-chairs of the full Ways and Means, as well as the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, to keep them apprised of our business or financial condition and our standard funding request, as well as the additional funding requests to remain solvent for the biennium. The governor's priorities for the legislative session are water, fire, and climate. And so I think we'll see some previews of that in the Senate Interim Committee on Wildfire and Prevention and Recovery. We'll be watching the initial discussions of legislative concepts coming out of the Wildfire Council. We've seen, we know of four legislative concepts. One's the Wildfire Workforce Foundation, creation of a wildfire workforce that receives private and public funds to support youth workforce development in areas of forest restoration and wildfire risk reduction. There's also a legislative concept for the Oregon Department of Forestry modernization. I think that's a capacity bill, but we have not seen a copy of that. There's a legislative concept on integrated demonstration projects, which requires a state forestry department to establish demonstration projects for reducing wildfire risk on forest and rangelands. And then there's the governor's wildfire bill. The intention of the governor is to release an omnibus bill that tracks closely to the Wildfire Council recommendations. This big picture bill addresses health, land use, defensible space, building codes, emergency service, mitigation, and fire suppression. So the full range of recommendations that came from the council. In the Senate Interim Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, we'll be watching the Oregon Greenhouse Gas Initiative, Legislative Concept 19. It has not been posted yet. Yet there have been a few earlier drafts based on last year's House Bill 2020 with some modifications. Today we have a busy day, and I just want to remind you that this is sort of the penultimate stage of the board strategic planning for the next biennium. You will be reviewing ideas and prioritizing your work for the next 2 years. And so this is a really important time for the board to set the direction of what they want to work on and work plan. And that's what really sets our agendas for the next 2 years. And so I think really being thoughtful, and we had a lot of ideas that came out at the October retreat, and we now need to sort of prioritize. The board needs to prioritize and identify what they want to work on. At the last board meeting, I got direction to move forward with a review on the past compliance audit, and it should be out today. I've issued a contract with Dr. Groom of Groom Analytics to write up the sampling protocol. It was never formally written up, and review everything that's been submitted and concerns about that, both from the board and stakeholders, and essentially build an RFP for requesting an external review through our contracting process. I try to end these on happy notes, and so I'm going to do that once again. And I'm going to talk about a couple of voluntary agreements that we have in work. There's the 2011 forestry program for Oregon strives to conserve diverse native plant and animal populations and protect and improve their habitats. That's your goal E. The forestry program for Oregon supports an effective science-based and adaptive forest practice Act as a cornerstone of forest resource protection on private lands, and it promotes and encourages a variety of non-regulatory tools, such as landowner recognitions, incentives, easement exchanges, and technical assistance to achieve public policy goals. And one of these tools is a stewardship agreement, and another one is our legacy program. And so we have some pretty good news. Stewardship agreements are different than shared stewardship. But if I say shared stewardship, please excuse me. In 1997, the Oregon legislature created stewardship agreements under ORS 527-662 to implement more efficient provisions of the Oregon Forest Practice Act and serve as an incentive for forest landowners to further enhance and restore forest resources. Stewardship agreements are a long-standing methods for landowners to gain assurances of regulatory stability in exchange for voluntarily agreeing to exceed existing forest resource protections under the Forest Practice Act rules. About 13 such agreements are in place in Oregon, and Port Blakely is volunteering to enter a stewardship agreement to fulfill two purposes: to ensure long-term regulatory certainty and therefore economic stability for Port Blakely's customers, employees, and family owners, and to demonstrate Port Blakely's commitment to sound forest stewardship by protecting and enhancing fish and wildlife habitat as the company manages its forest land. The proposed stewardship agreement contains forest management and conservation measures that provide enhanced protection for fish-bearing streams and other aquatic features. The measure also aims to create and sustain a mosaic of diverse habitat to meet many of the habitat requirements of land-based species over their life cycles. It's about a 30,000 acre. It's our largest stewardship agreement to date, and it's in public review now. The other one, Forest Legacy, was established by Congress, the Forest Legacy Program, and it's administered through the USDA Forest Service. And it offers a partnership with states to conserve environmentally important forest areas that are threatened by conversion to non-forest use. And preserving working forests maintains a multitude of public benefits, including supporting timber sector jobs and sustainable forest operations while protecting air and water quality, wildlife habitat, access for recreation, and other public benefits. The East Moraine Forest Legacy Project, which is close to Neil's art, is a 1,791-acre property bordering Wallala Lake in northeast Oregon. The property covers about three-fifths of an Ice Age-era glacial moraine that is considered one of the best-preserved examples of its type in the U.S. The current owner has voluntarily agreed to sell the property to Wallala County. This action has been supported by the Walla Lake Moraine Partnership, which is made up of public and private members, including Wallala County, Wallala Land Trust, Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and the Sustainable Land Management Group, Wallala Resources. ODF will provide $3.5 million grant from the Federal Legacy Program to the county to help the county purchase the East Moraine property. The grant represents just over half of the total purchase price of $6 million. The East Moraine property under Wallala County Resources will be managed for public benefits, including forest products, public access, recreation, and grazing. These two accomplishments provide great examples of different approaches which maintain working forests and the benefits provided by these forests. Both of these programs and the staff support are through our private forest division. And I'd like to give special recognition to Amy Singh, who's our Forest Legacy Coordinator, and Nate Agelsoff, our Incentives Field Coordinator, and others who worked on the stewardship agreement. So great work. And with that, are there any questions?
Any questions for Peter or any comments from board members?
Well, I'll just echo appreciation for ODF and the USDA and the Forest Legacy Program and the work of the staff on that East Moraine project. It's been a project that citizens of Wallala County have expressed interest in for 25, 30 years, and that I personally have been involved in for 12 years. We did our first appraisal of that property and started negotiations with a landowner in 2007, and to see this come to closure is exciting. And broadly appreciated across Wallala County, and I think across the state, and as we've seen with the support we've had for the campaign. So thanks to you all and your staff for that. I also just wanted to report that the Federal Forest Subcommittee of this board met yesterday. Joe Justice and I were there in person. Cindy could not join us, and Tom Imeson called in with department staff. We reviewed the recommendations, generally the broad suite of recommendations from the Wildfire Council, the full report, and the work of the mitigation committee. We reviewed the ongoing implementation of the Federal Forest Restoration Program, as well as the Good Neighbor Authority projects, and discussed that in the context of the new shared stewardship agreement. and recognize the need to review the function and role of the Board of Forestry with respect to these issues and thereby the role of our subcommittee. And think about how we fit into what sort of policy role, guidance role, voice and leadership could we provide given the current status and trajectory of these initiative programs and agreements. That reconsideration needs to be coordinated with the governor's office to consider the role of the Wildfire Council and any new advisory committee that might be established relevant to the shared stewardship agreement. So we are, Peter's leading the work to establish a meeting to that end. Once we've had the opportunity to do that, we will be bringing the topic to a future full board meeting explore the role of the subcommittee with the anticipation right now that we would modify our scope and role but continue the subcommittee given all of these significant programs and initiatives that are underway. I don't know if either of you want to add to that.
I think that's a pretty succinct and summary of what happened. Appreciate it. Any other comments from board members?
Well, I do have a go back, right? Oh. Yeah. So,
go back.
Well, go back or go forward, however you wish to think. Governor Brown said a public servant is a labor of love. And I would agree with that statement, and it applies to all of our board members. I don't think they would be here if they didn't love forestry. They get really high salaries and lots of kudos from stakeholders. So, but today we're going to recognize Cindy Deacon Williams and Neil Christofferson for their 8 years of public service to the citizens of Oregon. Cindy, just to highlight a couple of things, Cindy served as our OWEB board member and Neil's has led our federal forest subcommittees and both of them worked on the riparian rule changes and help get those passed. And with that, I'll open the floor to other board members.
Well, I would just want to say that by this recognition today, I wouldn't want people to presume that this is your last meeting because while your terms technically end at the end of February, nobody has been nominated to replace you as far as I know. And likely won't prior to our next meeting, and I'm hopeful that that extension will be, for some time. Since we're in the midst of a number of major issues, but I think it's appropriate, as Peter has described, to do this recognition now, since the future is sometimes unpredictable. But I also want to add my own appreciation for all the work that you've two have put in. It's been well beyond the meetings that you show up for here, and both of you have been really passionate about a lot of the issues that come before the board. So we appreciate that.
Great. Well, we have
now we're supposed to stand in the right
box.
Places here. Yeah.
Supposed to stand in the boxes that we said.
Somewhere in the That's great. And we have gotten a memento each of you, and it says on behalf of the people who are presented in Joseph's office with gratitude for leadership and service on the State Board of Forestry, March 2012. And that you recognize as the Blue Mountains in Eastern and Northeast Oregon. This says, on behalf of the people of Oregon, presented to Cindy Deacon Williams with gratitude and leadership for forestry. Service on the State Board of Forestry, March 2012 to February 2020. Now you might not recognize that, but that is a small fish stream on some textbooks.
Now, recognize the area, not the specifics.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. We do have two folks who have signed up to testify on the public comment part of the meeting, Mary Skurlock and Bob Van Dyke.
Good morning, members of the board, Chair Imason, State Forest Authority. I would like to just follow up quickly on one of the good news items that Peter delivered, not speaking specifically to the stewardship agreement that is currently out for public comment, but speaking generally to the decision process, including public involvement on decisions to provide regulatory assurances under the board's stewardship agreement authority. This is relatively new to me. Like the times I've been up here talking about plans for alternate practice, I only notice things like this when there's something significant that comes to my attention, and I think that a 30,000-acre plan is significant. It was already on my radar mostly because of the pending a habitat conservation plan and regulatory assurances there. But I think that if this signals the increasing use of stewardship agreements in order to, and I remind you, lock in regulatory requirements in the form of this plan for 50 years, meaning that rules that this board makes would not apply to the landowners covered by the stewardship agreements, it likely behooves us to pay some additional attention at this time to the decision process that is used in approving these agreements. And so I'm just would urge that that we consider doing that, because while the general standard is that we will approve agreements that exceed minimum regulatory requirements, there is in fact a fairly lengthy set of rules and statutory language that applies. And there's a fairly long list of procedural and substantive criteria that apply, which frankly I'm still trying to sort out and make sense of. The tension with those and the presumption of non-disclosure of information upon which the department relies in determining that these criteria are met is a problem for the public in reviewing the plans. So there is a presumption of non-disclosure of, for example, the land management plan that must be reviewed and certified by the department in making these stewardship agreements. But this can be overridden by showing that public interest would be served by disclosing it. And frankly, if the information is not a trade secret, I'm not sure what the public policy would be. This landowner is very open. There's a public process associated with it. I'm not as concerned about this plan, but going forward, we might want to take a look at regularizing what the information is that is provided to the public in reviewing these decisions. So glad to see that we've got folks coming forward and going above and beyond, and appreciate the department's efforts in that regard. Thanks a lot.
Board members, for the record, Bob Van Dyke, Wild Salmon Center. I guess I first want to just briefly express my thanks to board members Christofferson and Deegan Williams for your service on the board. It's been a pleasure for me to get to know you a little bit and work with you over these years. And somehow I don't think you're quite done yet. So I look forward to being in touch during the year to come. I'm before you today to mention a legislative concept that I think may be coming to the legislature in the short session here. It's something you've heard from my organization about before. It's a forest transfer bill. It's basically a tool that Washington State has something similar, which allows the Board of Forestry to identify lands that either may have low value for revenue generation or may have a better value for conservation or recreation, and try to identify a public partner to which that land could be transferred. There would need to be money to help finance that transfer. So it's basically a mechanism to start in small ways allowing decoupling. of state force from the revenue obligation, so they could be managed for a more uniform purpose, a single purpose, or outside of the current management framework, I should say. A similar bill was passed in 2015 for the common school fund lands as part of the conversation about the Elliott, which is the same kind of problem there, the common school fund lands being having revenue obligations, but that being in tension with managing for other objectives. I know you're familiar with that. This bill was introduced in Senate in 2017 as well, a similar bill, Senate Bill 893. There was a hearing at which basically was discussed. There wasn't enough time. There was need for more work on the bill. So there have been a bunch of revisions to it. A couple of highlights I'd like to mention to you in the bill. One is it really starts with the Board of Forestry. So the Board of Forestry is a body that identifies parcels that might be logical to decouple. It requires an appraisal of those parcels. It requires the county where the transfer would happen to consent to the transfer happening. It requires the body who's going to get the parcel to be identified and for them to also agree that they want to get the parcel. So there's a lot of checks and balances in there. For us, it just feels like a tool to add to the toolbox to help reduce some of the tensions over state forest management. I've had a chance to discuss this with Susan Morgan from the counties, and she had some concerns that we're trying to understand and address. We've had some good conversations with the department and included several changes there. The state treasurer is interested in this bill as well. And I think the reason for that is, as you know, some of your parcels, that is Board of Forestry lands, are intermixed with common school fund lands, which the land board oversee. So I think they see this as a potential mechanism to potentially ease some of the reshuffling of the landscape between state forests, Board of Forestry, and common school fund land. So I saw in my inbox this morning a revised concept that I think reflected a variety of feedback we've gotten, including from the department. I'll certainly forward that to the board as well. So I just wanted to highlight that for you. I think it will be heard in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee as a committee bill. So if you've got any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but that's all I've got on that. Okay, thank you.